let's take a stroll over to Broadway, where producers are doing something a little different this season, supporting and celebrating the work of Black artists. All seven of the new plays premiering this season on Broadway were written by Black playwrights. It's a testament to the activism displayed by Black theater artists over the course of the pandemic. Earlier this month, the play Passover by Antoinette Nwandu became one of the first productions to open on Broadway since the shutdowns of 2020. After the show's first performance, audience members headed out into the street for a dance party, where Nwandu addressed the crowd from a balcony.
Y'all, I feel like Black Evita. We've been rehearsing. I've been praying. We have been working, and now we are here together to tell this story of Black joy.
This is an exciting moment for theaters in New York and across the country, but it's also a precarious one. The ongoing threat of the Delta variant means that productions just starting to open back up could once again face shutdowns in the fall. With me now to talk about Broadway's current season are Maya Phillips, critic at large for the New York Times, and Vincent Cunningham, staff writer and theater critic for the New Yorker. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Yeah, it's so fun.
Maya, I want to start with you, in part because as I introduce you as the New York Times and Vincent as the New Yorker, start by telling us why Broadway matters beyond New York City.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, Broadway, I feel like it sets the tone for a lot of what happens around the country. Like, obviously, I do believe in local theaters, and I think that there's always great work to be seen in, you know, regional spaces. But Broadway is just a historic institution. You'll see, you know, places across the country pick up shows that got their start on Broadway. It's a big deal.
Yeah, I think that's totally right. There is a sort of tone setting function. But then too, I mean, in a very literal sense, people from all over the country come to New York to watch Broadway shows. So, I mean, to the extent that New York is a magnet for people all around the country, Broadway, I think, has a disproportionate amount to do with that.
Maya, you just saw Passover.
I did, yes, last week.
What was that like for you?
Oh, man. I had mixed feelings just like about the experience because I was obviously super excited to go back. You know, it was my first Broadway show in all of these months. And yet, when I was in the lobby, I had this moment of panic that all these people are around me. And of course, they're all vaccinated, but it's like a trauma response. I was like, oh, my God, there are people everywhere. How did I do this before? But then, of course, I settled down. And then once I sat down in the seat and the show started, I was just, it was so emotional. And to hear everyone cheering, everyone was so happy to be there. So it was a little of both, but mostly the good stuff.
Right. I mean, that's part of the theater piece, right? Is that the fact that when we watch something alone or even with simply our intimates, it's not the same experience as when we watch it collectively, when we watch it in the crowd. Vincent, how was your experience with Passover?
What struck me was just the weird exchange of energy that happens when you're in the room with a lot of other people. I mean, those Broadway seats are, there's not a lot of space. You really are shoulder to shoulder with other people and like hearing their banter and sometimes, unfortunately, hearing their cell phones or like whatever it is, the crinkle of their M&M wrapper. There's a different thing that happens when, for example, someone laughs at something that you hadn't yet found funny and you just are negotiating. Okay, what do they find in that? That part of it, that sort of triangulating against other people's emotions and responses, especially as a critic, you know, when you're trying to figure out what those responses might be. I mean, it's kind of invaluable. There are, you know, lots of other things that happened during the pandemic. Virtual theater was in some ways, in some instances, amazing, but this is a different thing for sure.
It's an interesting point. I hadn't thought of it as a non-critic. I'm always just going to enjoy or hate on any given, you know, show on my own. But the idea that I suppose, Maya, you're reading the crowd as much as you are reading the play itself.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll also add that, you know, that's an element, especially as a Black critic. Like, I won't speak for you, Vincent, but I know for me, just that immediately kind of flooded back into my mind that I'm like, obviously the content of this play is very much about race. And, you know, I'm looking around me and once again, I'm in this crowded theater space that I'm really happy to be in, but there are white people all around me. And I'm kind of, for lack of a better word, but like policing their interactions with the play and what they find funny, how they respond to, especially the N-word that comes up a lot. Like all those things are going through my head too.
Oh gosh, it's such an important point. So much has happened since we were last on Broadway together. Vincent, it occurs to me as Maya is speaking that not only have we been in the context of a global pandemic, but obviously also in the context of the post-murder of George Floyd. And it's been so long, not only was Mr. Floyd murdered, but his murderer found guilty. I mean, this has been a time around race in America. How was that playing out for you?
One of the things that that has brought into being is like a sort of, I don't know if it's a panic response or an empathetic response or simply, you know, some level of responsiveness from Broadway and from the theater establishment in New York to try to figure out what all of that, the sort of the uprisings last summer have meant for the stage. And so Passover was this really sort of strangely congruent because incongruent thing to come back to about these men on a block and they're buffeted by these forces not unlike the forces that eventually killed George Floyd, you know, the police, and a sort of enclosure in their own environments that, like, it was very much in some ways on the nose of that development in our lives. Because when we think about coming back to Broadway, you think about, like, I don't know, Aladdin the musical or something, right? You think about like the celebratory thing. And here we have this in some ways downbeat, meditative thing that's happening around the things that we've been thinking about for the last couple of months. So it was this particular play was, you know, very interesting to come back to because it was like a sort of minor key way back into all of this.
And Maya, indeed, all seven of the new plays being produced this season on Broadway are by Black playwrights. Would that have happened without not only the uprisings, but this June 2020 letter from a group of Black theater artists titled We See You, White American Theater?
I would love to be optimistic and say, yes, I think it would eventually happen, but I'm not sure it would. I do think that, you know, the combination of the culture, like what was happening in the cultural conversation around Black Lives Matter and the We See You White Theater, like there was so much pressure all of a sudden being put on theaters, institutions, just like figures in power, and particularly, of course, white figures in power in a way that we haven't really seen in the theater. Well, at least I haven't. I think it's great. And I think that, you know, the fact that we're seeing these institutions shift, not just with the new plays on that are coming to Broadway, but just the fact that there are new people who are coming in. There are like diversity inclusion officers. There are changing of the guard in a lot of the big theaters. Like that's all really important. And I'm really excited to be a part of that or like be a part of this moment, especially as a Black critic.
I think, you know, last summer was a time for better and worse, right? For many establishments across our country to sort of receive the incoming, you know, about what their actions and what their omissions and their blind spots have meant to the constituencies and the communities that they serve. And so, of course, the theater was no exception. But, you know, it throughout the publishing world, throughout the academic world, everywhere there was a sort of often expressed in this epistolary way, like, here's what's been going on, and here's how this part of our society has contributed to this larger mess, this conflagration that we see. So those letters, I thought, had a big impact. And the theater community, as you know, as I'm learning as a critic and sort of understanding the byways, it's a very small community. Jeremy O'Harris's Slave Play, for example, there were lots of things that happened in that producing group to sort of bring in Black audiences and change price structures and things like this. So this was a sort of a deepening of something that's been going on for a long time.
Whether you think it has changed for all time or not, it's really cool to be part of a thing while it is happening and to be able to both contribute and think about it in the moment. But I'm wondering if you also feel optimistic that the changes will be lasting and sustained.
Oh, I'm not at all an optimist, unfortunately. Yeah. So yes, I was saying that it feels great to be in this moment, but I say that with the same asterisk that Vincent was saying, that, you know, we've seen this so many times in so many industries that like there will be these changes happen. And I hope that it won't just be like this season, that this conversation is still kind of fresh in people's minds. I hope after that, after the kind of fire of everything dies down a little bit more, that we won't go to back to a season of like all white playwrights and like all white casts and all white creative teams. Like, but it's always a possibility, unfortunately. It's just, that's how this industry is. And it's just, it's dominated by whiteness, unfortunately.
You know, we started by saying, why should, you know, Broadway matter beyond New York? But also, why should it matter beyond those who have a certain kind of disposable income? How do we get to experience, be part of Broadway, these experiences you all are having, you know, being there, you know, in that actual space, hearing the Eminem rapper, unless you have hundreds of dollars in disposable income?
Yeah, it is something that frankly haunts me, right? And theater from its origins, you know, and in the ancients, it's supposed to be an expression precisely of democracy, right? If it comes along with the Greeks, we think of it in parallel with something like democracy, something like broad access, something that reflects every current in the society. And so if everybody can't come, that seems like a bit of a dark joke. But I actually think that this issue of class and access has a lot to do with what we're talking about just sort of varying the offerings that come onto the stage. In both cases, it seems to me that like our country needs to realize what actually the arts give our society. You know, the Democrats have, you know, pushing for this infrastructure bill. And part of that has been expanding what we mean by infrastructure. It seems to me that one of the deep places of infrastructure in our country is indeed the arts. And we used to have a federal writers program, a federal theater program that helped artists make work and increase their capacity to reach audiences outside of these establishments and make their work undeniable. And that's how so many of the people that we love made it to the stage in the years after the New Deal. It seems to me that our country in some ways needs to step up and provide some insurance that perhaps these establishments can't or won't. But until that's a part of it, until, you know, these ticket prices go down, and I don't know how we ease that pressure except at the highest levels, it's going to be a bit of a shame. I think this year is kind of a test case because I think tourism is still down, right? And so we have a little bit of an experiment. Like, can we get somebody to travel not from Iowa, but from Queens to come to the theater, you know? Can we get somebody to come from Staten Island and come to the theater? What can we do here in our own backyard, this varied city that we have? We don't even forget about seeing the country. We don't see the city in these theaters. And so, you know, that to me seems like a good place to start.
I was also specifically thinking about, you know, my experience just being like a fledgling theater critic in New York. It's just like, I was affected by the accessibility too. Of course it's a different situation. Of course I am still coming from a place of privilege, but it's also difficult for certain groups of people, even within the industry, to get access to certain shows as a freelancer or whatever. I wasn't always able to like get press access into like some of the big Broadway shows. So there are like some gaps in my knowledge that are unfortunate. That's me as an actual journalist. So just imagining all these audiences that are out there who just have no awareness of the shows being happening, or like, you know, can't get out there, or just don't have the money to get out there. You know, it's all an issue.
I feel like maybe you just planted a Hamilton shade tree. I'm not sure if that was accurate or not, but that was interesting. There. I'm gonna just let that shade tree grow and spread its branches, and we won't do anything more around that.
No comment.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Great. Good. Vincent and Maya, before we go, though, I am hoping that maybe you'll both just give me one. You know, we talked a little bit here about Passover. I don't know whether to call it Passover. But tell me a little bit about at least one other play that for you is what you're really looking forward to this season. Vincent, we can start with you.
First of all, I would say that the confusion over that name is precisely one of the tensions, I think, in the play. So you are already on the right track. And something that I'm like sort of perversely waiting for, because I just don't know what to expect, is the Michael Jackson musical. I just want to know what Linares will do with Michael Jackson, who, if you're alive now, you've probably been thinking about for your whole life.
Ooh, I am really, really psyched for Trouble in Mind, which is like, it should be a classic. It should be part of the canon, but I think that it's been kind of forgotten. And I just think it's one of the perfect plays for this moment, like just talking about bringing Black actors and like a Black show to the stage and what that actually means. So I think that's going to be exciting and to see people experience.
Maya Phillips is a critic at large for the New York Times, and I really feel like needs to come back and have a whole conversation about freelancing. And Vincent Cunningham is a theater critic for The New Yorker and drops phrases like minor key and epistolary, just like it's no big deal. And I enjoyed this very much. Vincent, thank you for being here.
So fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Maya, thank you for being here.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks.